Our scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 8, where the message is coming from, and I'll read verses 12 through 20, and then we have special music before my message. John 8, 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. And then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." Steve Rawlings has a special song for us before our message today.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, draw me nearer to the cross where thou hast died. Cause me nearer, blessed Savior, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now in thy service, Lord, by thy power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine, and thy will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, draw me nearer to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Savior, to thy precious bleeding side. Depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I cannot reach till I rest in peace with thee, till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, draw me nearer to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Savior, to thy precious bleeding side. To thy precious bleeding side nearer.
Turn your Bibles now to John chapter 8 as we look at the title, A New Identity in Christ. Sometimes you hear on the news about people stealing someone's identity. That is, they are pretending to be someone, usually for selfish gain when they steal someone's identity. But whenever we come to know the Lord, the Bible says that we have a new identity in Christ. And that wonderful little prepositional phrase, in Christ, has so much depth to it there. And this morning we're going to look at the new identity in Christ. And as we look at these 19 verses in John chapter 8, we're going to look at the light of life, the law of the testimony. We read part of that in our scripture reading from the Old Testament. And then Jesus is Lord of all. And so as we look at this and see that Jesus, when he gives us a new identity in Christ, he gives us a new name. Sometimes we sing a song, there's a new name in heaven. And God gives us a new, makes us a new person whenever we're saved. He gives us a new security. Not Social Security, and we're thankful for that. The one the Lord offers is much better than that. He gives us a new family. We're part of the family of God. He gives us a new home in heaven, a new citizenship. It's wonderful to be citizens here of the United States, but there's a better citizenship than that, and that's being a citizen of heaven. So as we look at the light of life, as Jesus begins in verse 12, we see that this light is reliable. It says in verse 12 that then spake Jesus again, meaning that he had spoken to them before over and over again. And any time that God speaks, all of his word is reliable. It is constantly reliable. We can depend on God's word. We can depend on what Jesus said because he was God in the flesh here on earth. And every time his word speaks, it is reliable. For example, the Word of God is not a science book, but whenever it speaks on science, it's accurate in what it says. It's reliable there. God's Word is reliable there all the time. Well, we see that this is the light of the world. The reach of this light is to the world. Jesus didn't say, I am the light of the nation of Israel. He didn't say, I am the light of the Middle East or any particular continent, and certainly not the United States, but he said, I am the light of the world. And this light, Jesus Christ, shines to all the world. And it is the only way where a person could be saved and not live in darkness. And Jesus said that he's the light of the world, that we are to be reflecting that light. We're also lights shining. He said, let your light so shine before men. There. And so we are to be shining for him. And someone said once that the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. And so as believers, that's where our light should be shining most brightly, at home with our family, and then shine out to others as well, not just in our church, but throughout the world. Well, the reliability of the light, the reach of the light is to all the world. And then he goes on to say in verse 12 that he is the light of life. He that believes on Christ shall have the light of life. And so this light, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a life-giving nature. And so the Lord gives us brand new life whenever we're saved. He creates in us a brand new spirit there. In the Old Testament, we read in Genesis where God created the light and the sun.
is a life-giving source there. It provides light, it provides life. In a very spiritual sense, the Son of God provides that light and life for us, and also the Son provides growth. And so as we go to the Word of God, and as Jesus speaks again and again in His Word to us, there's to be spiritual growth. And so from the time that God gives us this new identity in Christ and we're saved, He wants us to grow in our walk with Him, even as a plant grows from the light of the sun and then begins to bear fruit. And that's what God wants us to do as well. So the radiance of this light just continues to shine and give life. Well, the revelation of the light, whenever Jesus is talking, He is revealing two things here in this chapter and throughout God's Word. The first thing He reveals is truth, the revelation of truth. It's illuminating. Sometimes we will use the phrase, if someone doesn't understand something, we'll say, well, you shed a little light on that. And so here's what the Lord Jesus does through His Word. He sheds light on who God the Father is. And He teaches us that there's no way to know God the Father except through Jesus. He's the only light that can shed light on who the Father is and how we can come to know Him. And a person cannot come to know the Father in heaven without knowing the light of the world, who is Jesus. And so the revelation of truth is in the light. But also Jesus reveals error to us. And that's part of our jobs as Christians as well, and especially mine as pastor, to reveal error, whether it's error in ways of living, whether it's error in ways of thinking and about the Word of God and theology. We are to expose those errors there, because that's what the light does. The light exposes dirt. The closer you get to a light, the more you're going to see the dirt or the splinter or whatever it is that you have there. And that's what God's Word does. It sheds light there. And it's not a respecter of persons. It doesn't show any favoritism there. It doesn't matter a person's skin color or nationality. Whenever they get close to the light of God's Word, it will begin to expose errors in our way of thinking and our living. And we should pray that way, even as David did. And someone wrote a hymn as well, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, know my thoughts there." And whenever we are praying that, "Search me, O God," it is saying, "God, will you shed the light of your Word on my life and bring it close in, zoom in, so that there's anything that's not pleasing to you, that's dirt or filth in my life, in my thinking, Lord, would you expose that so I can confess it?" I read a story of a 99-year-old man in Italy there. And he was going through some of the things in their house, and he found a 60-year-old love letter to his wife. But it wasn't from him. It was from another man. They had been married 77 years, and this letter was 60 years old. And so after being married for 77 years and finding this letter that was 60 years old to his wife, he divorced her at the age of 99 there. That could have easily been avoided. It doesn't give a whole lot more details on that story I read in Italy there, but maybe they didn't have shredders back in those days, but they had matches or scissors. You know, whenever we have sins that are kind of hiding in our closets of our lives, that the Lord has a spiritual shredder and a match where He destroys those things, and they don't show up 60 years later. The Bible says whenever He forgives us of our sin, He casts them as far as the east as from the west, never to be remembered again there. And we can try to hide our sins and stash them away like this woman did. Maybe she forgot about it, but it eventually came back up. That doesn't happen with God. Aren't you glad that He forgives and He forgets, does something we're not able to do, forget? It kind of comes back to mind, but not with God. He throws it out of His mind there. And we can't keep secrets from God, because the light of His Word exposes those things. So Jesus is the light of life. Well, they didn't like what Jesus was teaching to them, and they tried to tell him that his witness can't be true. In verse 13, they said to him, "Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true." So there was a prerequisite of the law. And these people standing before Jesus, they knew the teachings of the law. Now, just because somebody understands and knows the Bible doesn't mean that they're living it. It doesn't even mean that they're saved. People can have that understanding in their head, but still not know the light of the world and be genuinely saved. And so when they said, "You can't bear witness of yourself," there has to be more than just saying that it's true. Well, Jesus responded to them in verse 14. He said, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, and I judge no man." And so Jesus is saying, drop down to verse 17, "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true." And so the law required two witnesses for something to be established as true. And Jesus is saying, there are two witnesses, but greater than man. He says, "I am witnessing, and the Father in heaven is witnessing of me." So my witness is true because there are two. A few chapters ago, when we were in John chapter 5, we also saw that John the Baptist was a witness to who Jesus was, and the scriptures witnessed who Jesus was and is. And so Jesus says to them, here's the proof. He says, my record is true. And when you think about a light doesn't need any witness that it's there. We have the lights on here, and you know they're on. I don't have to tell you you're on. They radiate themselves. They prove themselves that they're on there. And Jesus was living proof that he was God, and the things that he said were reliable there, and he is the light of life. And so we see the law of the testimony, the prerequisite, and the proof, and then he goes down. In verses 15 and 16, he talks about the perfection of his judging. He says, my judging is true. Now, when Jesus came into the world, his purpose was not to condemn the world. Most people are familiar with John 3:16, at least parts of it, if not all of it, people in our nation at least, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the very next verse says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. And why? Well, that passage goes on to say, because we're condemned already. He didn't need to come and condemn us because we're already condemned. The Bible says, from the time we're born, we're condemned to die. We're condemned to death. We're condemned to hell unless we receive the light of the world, which is Jesus. So he didn't come to condemn the world. He came because we were already condemned, and he came to save us from this condemnation there. And Jesus says that, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true. When you look at those verses, at first it says, yet after the flesh, you judge after the flesh in verse 15, but I judge no man, and yet if I judge. When he says I judge no man, yet if I do, that is, I don't judge man by myself. I'm not just one who's doing it. He says when I judge, it's not just me that's judging, but it's the Father in heaven. It's the Word of God. When I speak judgment, my judgment is based on truth. And so whenever we judge, and the Bible commands us to do that, Jesus commanded us to judge righteous judgment there. And so we are to judge righteous judgment, not according to our opinions or our preferences, but we're to judge righteous judgment according to the truth of the Word of God. We are to shed light on what the Bible says is right and wrong. And that's the kind of judging that Jesus did, and that's the kind that he commands us to do as well. And then he goes on to say that, there's this personal knowledge that they didn't know. I love those two little phrases in verse 19 where Jesus says, "You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father." See, they knew the law. They knew some of it anyway. They knew what it taught about how many witnesses were required. But what they didn't know was God. They knew about God. And they knew a little about Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know God personally. And that's what God allows us to do when we come to know Christ and he gives us a new identity and we become sons and daughters of the living God. He gives us a new family and we come to know him, not just his teachings. We learn those as we study the Word of God. And you can read a book and you can know a lot about that book, even if you've never met the author. But whenever you know the author, it just gives a new look at that book. And whenever we come to know Christ, we know the author of the Word of God, and it becomes a living book to us, not just a book for information there. Well, in verse 20, we see Jesus also had a public ministry. Oftentimes, he was teaching in the temple, and we've seen that in the last few chapters as he goes to the temple and he teaches. But here he's outside the temple in what's called the treasury here. It says he spoke these words in the treasury as he taught here. And Mark chapter 4, sometimes this was referred to not in Mark, it's not called the court of the women, but that's what it was known as outside the court there. This is where, remember, the widow's mite, where she came and she put in the mite and Jesus commended her for how much she had given. She had given all. And so here Jesus is outside and this is his public ministry. Outside of the temple. So we as Christians, we come into the house of God, into the church, and we are to be a light to one another, to help one another. But whenever we leave the church, we're to be a light unto the world as well. We have a public ministry, whether you are called to be a pastor or be a Sunday school teacher, those titles we give don't have anything to do with God's commanding us to be ministers, that is to serve him, is what the word minister means. So we all have this public ministry, whether it's at work or in our family, wherever we go, we're to minister. And Jesus did that as well. He is the light of the world, and we're to carry that torch. We're to carry that light and let people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, towards the end of this passage, for the last 9 verses, here are 10 verses, as we look at John chapter 8, in these verses, there are 4 contrasts that are given here. And in these 4 contrasts, we'll see one of them has to do with light and one has to do with darkness. And we know the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil there. And so men love darkness. God wants us to love the light. The first contrast that we'll see, there are 2 destinations. Here's an overview of these 4 contrasts we're going to see. There are 2 destinations, there are 2 directions, there are 2 dogmas, or another word for beliefs, and then there are 2 decisions there. And the first destination is heaven. And notice Jesus refers to that in verse 21, where he says, "Jesus said to them again, I go my way, and ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." And so Jesus was talking about his death and his resurrection and then eventually his ascension. He's going to heaven, and they couldn't go there. And Jesus said, "My way." And he also said in the scriptures that he's the only way. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And so Jesus said, "It's my way." And so if people are going to get to heaven, they have to do it by the way of the cross. There's no other way for people to get to heaven. It doesn't matter what religion their parents or grandparents brought them up in. It doesn't matter what nationality they are. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, everyone hearing my voice, you have one of two destinations. Either you're on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. And Jesus contrasted his way with dying in your sins. And the wonderful thing about Jesus coming to earth is to save us so we wouldn't have to die in our sins. The Bible says for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And because we've all sinned, there's condemnation. We're condemned already because we're sinners. And so those who do not accept the way of Christ, the way of the cross, receive Christ, the light of the world, they will die in their sins. But people don't have to, because Jesus came from heaven and he came to the cross of Calvary and he died there in our place for our sins so that we don't have to die in our sins. We can have life for all eternity because of what Jesus did. And so he's giving these people this choice that we'll see. You could either choose the life that Jesus gives, his way, which is heaven, or you can choose your own way. Isaiah 53 tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And when people go their own way and they don't go the way of Christ, the way of the cross, they are choosing to die in their sins when they don't have to, because Christ died in our place for our sins. And the Bible says that our sins were nailed to the cross there. And we can trust Christ and we can have heaven as our new destination when we have this new identity that we're in Christ. Well, the second contrast he gives, and of course you can see heaven is light and hell is darkness. And so as we're looking at the difference in light and darkness, in heaven there's the light. There's no need of the sun, the Bible says, because the Son of God, he's the light that shines it. There's no night there. And then in hell, the Bible talks about not just the fire of hell, but it talks about it's a pit of darkness, total darkness in hell. So there are two destinations that you can choose, heaven or hell, light or darkness. The second one, he says there are two directions. In the first direction, we see in verse 23, Jesus said to them, "Ye are from beneath," that is, of the earth. You are part of this world here. But he goes on to say, "But I'm not." He says, "I am from above." And so he is from beyond. He's from beyond the stars and all of that. And he is so far above. He came from heaven's glory there to come to earth there. And he is the true light and life. And it can't be found anywhere else. Life and light can't be found in the things of this world. And he said to them, "You're of this world. You're from beneath. And you're going to die in your sins. If you think you can figure it out yourselves and go your own way, it's not going to happen. Here's one who is that's light, and that's beyond. Whenever we take the path to go beyond this world and to walk with Christ, we have light. Whenever people choose to live in this world and be a part of this world, then there's darkness there. Satan is full of darkness, and he is the man or spirit of darkness as well. But we don't have to live in darkness. We don't have to be a part of this world. Certainly the Bible says we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And even though we're living beneath in a world of darkness, he says, this world needs some light. And Jesus has gone back to heaven. He says, now I want you to be a light and shine and show people that there is a way to get to heaven. There is a way to live beyond anything that this world has to offer. And that way is Jesus and only Jesus. Well, then he goes on to talk to them about two different beliefs. One is this unknowing crowd in verse 25. They said to him, "Who art thou?" You know, he keeps talking to them and they said, "Who are you there?" And they just couldn't fully understand who Jesus was, the one talking to them. Verse 27 says, "They understood not that he spake to them of the Father." And there are a lot of people today that don't understand who Jesus is. Now, we can't convince people. We can certainly share the Word of God with them. We can tell them what the Bible says. We can share our own testimony of how He gave us a new identity in Christ when He saved us. But we can't make them know and understand. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit of God works through the Word of God. That's why it's important for us to know the Scriptures and not give people just our own opinions, but to tell them this is what the Bible says. And even if they reject it, the Bible says they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting God. Our responsibility is not to make them know Christ and understand. Our responsibility is to share the light with them. But there's that unknowing crowd, and they live in darkness. But then there's the understanding church in verse 30. It says, "And as he spake these words, many believed on him." And whenever we come to believe on him, we become to understand. The more we trust Christ, we know that this life of being a Christian is a life of faith. And the more we trust God and walk by faith, the more light he sheds on what he has for us as well. In verse 28, Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he," that I am. He being in italics there, he was claiming to be the I am that God was when he talked to Moses there in the Old Testament there. He says, "When I be lifted up," that is on the cross there, when he dies on the cross, it's coming not long after this. He says, "When that happens, then you're going to know." Because remember what happened on that day when he died on the cross and there was darkness and the earth was shaking, and the nobleman said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." You're going to know who I am. But knowing who he is not enough. People have to come to know him personally and trust him as Savior. Well, the fourth of these contrasts, the unknowing crowd living in darkness, the understanding church lives in the light of the Word of God. There are two decisions. One is to please God. That's what Jesus did. In verse 29, he said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him." So the first decision, we can decide to do those things that please God. Now, none of us ever do always those things that please God. Jesus did. He never did sin in thought and word and deed. He always pleased his Father there. And whenever we put our faith in him, that is pleasing. That's why it says in the next verse, many believed on him. And faith is pleasing to God. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so Jesus always did those things that pleased his Father. We are saved by faith and we live by faith. But the other choice, other than pleasing God, which allows us to live in light, is to please self. Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that. And so he wasn't seeking to please himself. He was seeking to please God. Up at the Wiles Christian Camp in Brevard, North Carolina, they have a slogan or a saying that I've heard them use many times as they're preaching, especially at teen camps, and it is this: only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. And so God gives us one of those two decisions. Are you going to please God or are you going to please self? Even Christ himself didn't come to please himself. He came to please God and do that which was pleasing in God's sight. And so in conclusion, as we look at this new identity that we have in Christ, there is this positional identity, and that's that phrase, in Christ. Whenever a person comes to trust Christ as Savior, at that moment of salvation, the Bible says that he is placed into the body of Christ, and we are in Christ. What a wonderful place to be in Christ. And that happens the moment that we get saved. But after we get saved and we have this position, there's also this practical place where we have this practical light, this practical identity, where we're practicing these things in our lives there, that we are identifying with Christ publicly, not just in our own private devotions or in our home, but we want to let it be known to all the world that's lost and dying without the light, that there is a light, there is hope. The light of the world is Jesus. He's the only one who can save. And having a new identity in Christ is the only way to get to heaven. And if you have never come to have this new identity in Christ, we invite you, as we pray in just a moment, to ask Christ to come into your life and save you, and let the light of the world come in and give you life and light as well for all eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus indeed is the light of the world. And we pray for a world that's living in darkness, and help us as believers all around the world that we might be the light that you want us to be, so that we can shed the true light to those who are lost in sin and living in darkness, living in fear, and have no hope of eternal life in heaven. Lord, we thank you that you have accomplished that for us, and that we are saved by faith, that it's not enough just to know about the Bible and to know what the Scripture says, as these scribes and Pharisees did, but that we must know the Lord Jesus personally. And when we know him, then we know the Father through him. So we pray for those without Christ, that even now they would trust Christ and say, God, come into my heart and save me and be the light of my life and give me a new identity in Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.